We are delighted this morning to welcome to our church fellowship several special guests. You've already heard the announcement about our guest conductor this morning, Mr. Hugh Williams. We're delighted to welcome him to our church, and we hope that if you haven't made plans to attend the Evensong this afternoon, that you will do so. The choir has been rehearsing diligently, and the music is just glorious. I do hope that you will be present this afternoon for that. We also would like to welcome our friends from the Circolo de Costura, the sewing circle, which you heard Marnie make mention of as well this morning. This is a new ministry of our church where weekly a group of River Road women gather with other women in the community, many immigrants, at Crossover Clinic in order to sew together. But as you can imagine, it's not really about the sewing, is it? And don't get me wrong, that's awfully important. There are some wonderful pieces that these ladies have made, and they're on display in the lower commons, and I hope you will go by and view those pieces. But it's about so much more than sewing, isn't it? Sewing is but a medium for love and grace and acceptance and understanding and community. Ladies, we are so glad you are here today. According to the church calendar, today is Ascension Sunday, where we together remember the return of Jesus into heaven after ministering here on earth. And to prepare his disciples for leaving, Jesus has been giving them a review of sorts of all his teaching and his preaching. And today's reading comes out of that portion of Scripture. And in today's reading, Jesus offers to God a rather beautiful prayer. Many scholars call this the Lord's Prayer, and they're not referring to that prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Many scholars call that the disciples' prayer. That's the prayer Jesus gives to his disciples when they ask him, "How should we pray?" No, this really is the Lord's Prayer, because it is that moment when we get to hear Jesus speaking one-on-one with his Father. And in this prayer, Jesus gets specific. He prays that you and I, that we would be one. That you and I, with all believers everywhere and across time, that we would be one. I ask not only on behalf of these, Jesus prays, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. It's a beautiful prayer, and it's a beautiful thought, and I don't mean any disrespect to our Lord Jesus, but you could make the argument that he wasted his breath with this prayer. Because if you ask me, it doesn't look like we're a whole lot more unified now than we were then. We as Christ's children are fractured over any number of disagreements. Rather than come together to discuss our differences, to seek to grow from them, we are so quick to just break fellowship. We're done. I think I've told you before one of my favorite stories about a man stranded on a deserted island. And after more than 10 years of being stranded all alone in the Pacific, finally, a pilot spots him and sends in a rescue team. Despite being the only soul on this island, the stranded man has built for himself several buildings made of mud and thatch. The rescue captain is so very impressed by this one man's buildings, so he asks him for a tour. The man says, "This building over here is my house. Over there is my shop in which I carve wood and have other hobbies. And that building right there, that's my church." The rescue captain sees another little building right next to the church. "What's that building?" he asks. The man says, "Oh, that's where I used to go to church." To be sure, that there are times when we need to break fellowship with one another. To say it otherwise is to be dishonest. That may not be the goal, but sometimes it's inevitable. Sometimes doctrinal differences are too great to overcome, or sometimes a community's theology becomes oppressive. Sometimes a church climate has become toxic, or the church isn't supporting your own growth. Sometimes you need to move on. But I think more often than that, we are so quick to break fellowship with one another, to break the ties that bind us together in Jesus Christ. And if you look at the state of Christianity today, one could argue, I suppose, that Christians are among the most divided people on earth. And we've divided, you know this, among any number of issues. The current big issue among churches is whether to welcome and affirm LGBTQ persons. Some churches bless gay couples. Others want to bless them right out of the church. But that's just our latest squabble, isn't it? In the past, we fought over slavery, biblical inerrancy, civil rights, ordination of women, you name it. Yet Jesus' prayer remains. Jesus' prayer, in the midst of all of our disagreement, seems to rise up. This prayer that we would be one. To be clear, being one in Christ does not mean we agree on everything. It doesn't mean we have to look or talk or act all alike. Being one does not mean being the same. And to be one in Christ does not do away with what makes us different and unique. There's a good reason. There are good reasons that Christ's followers have their differences. But realizing our unity and living that out, that doesn't do away with these differences. I believe it allows us to transcend those differences. And that's a key difference. Last Wednesday night, our church hosted the new executive coordinator of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, Reverend Dr. Paul Baxley. Several times he made the very point I'm trying to make this morning. And that is, we do not gather around doctrinal unity or political agreements as a national denomination, he said. We do not gather around any one person or any one church's definition of orthodoxy. What holds us together, what binds us together in unity, is that we gather around Jesus Christ. And we seek to bring his kingdom to earth. This is a message I need to hear. I suspect this is a message you need to hear as well. At a time when our division seems so great, Democrats, Republicans, black, white, and brown, young and old, poor and rich, the Church of Jesus Christ must believe that we are not divided. In the love of God, we are one family. I love how Jesus ends this prayer. He ends it with love. I made your name known to them, he prays, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. That tells me that the unity that Christ calls for is not artificial or imposed through adherence to some rigid set of beliefs. This prayer for unity, Jesus' desire for us to be one, it's all born of love. Living, sacrificial, self-giving love. We can be one because we are loved and accepted by Jesus Christ, every last one of us. I love how hymn writer Fred Kahn puts it. Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister brother each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us, and bring us to believe. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live. Church, I don't need to tell you that there is far too much hate and disunity in this world. Mass shooting that took place in Virginia Beach a couple days ago lays that truth bare. As we seek to come together and find ways to reduce gun violence, I pray what Jesus prays, that the world would see followers of Christ united, unified, reaching out with love and compassion, and hopefully beating our swords into plowshares. We have an opportunity in just a moment to live out this unity. I believe we live out our oneness in Christ most clearly at Christ's table. As we take the bread and receive the cup, I often say to you those words that Jesus gave to us, "Do this in remembrance of me." Because remembering is at the heart of our unity. My friend Jim Somerville says that once during communion, it dawned on him that the word remember is not just the opposite of the verb to forget. No, the word remember is also the opposite of the word dismember. In other words, to remember is to put back together. To remember Christ is to put the broken pieces of Christ's body back together again and become one. I love that. In the love and sacrifice of Christ, we are one. This is our mission. This is our calling. This is who we are. One body, united in love. Amen.